Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining me today. Today is the end of the month show, The Conversations with Carol. What that means is that I'm not going to have any specific topic that I'm going to be discussing. I am going to be talking about this energy shift that probably many of you are aware of, but really no topic. And then what I'm going to do is really devote the entire show to just answering your questions and sharing my medical intuitive skills. Now, you can ask me a question about your health. You can ask me a question about the energy shift, maybe things that are just going in your body. This is a very, very prolific time for making decisions in our life. It's all about the energy of resolve. So it's like we just every day wake up and we say, okay, what do I need to get closure of? And it's very interesting because I found myself personally over the last couple of days going in, and it seems like so many of the different things that I use on a daily basis, for example, the milk carton and then my mascara and all the things, everything has been really low for a while. And then today was the day that it was like, okay, we just need to get rid of it. It's finally empty. And we need to just move on and start anew. And that means, you know, opening up new milk and things like that. Please be aware of all of those things. While they may sound silly as I share them, they have an awful lot to do in the symbolism of the fact that, you know, sometimes we hang on to things for that very last drop out of it, which doesn't have a negative to it unless we know that that last drop maybe isn't smelling as good if it's milk, or that it needs to just change. So the symbology of where we are now is basically going in and just finishing things up, or if they don't smell right, or they don't feel right, or they feel like they're, you know, just on the verge of limiting you and your beliefs and getting you back into old patterns, this is the time right now to be able to just go in and literally just throw the things away and then start with brand new things. The energy shift that we're in right now, and it actually started a couple of days ago, and it'll go a couple more days. It's about a 4-day window that we're looking at, is another harmonic convergence. And what that means is it's another opportunity for the man of mind, our human mind, and all of the, you know, healthy thoughts and ill thoughts we carry to be able to merge itself with the consciousness of the collective, meaning all that graces earth, as well as the consciousness of the divine mind. And when I say divine, I always refer to it as the divine source, the creator of all that exists. So in this harmonic convergence, we're having an opportunity to converge with ourself in our own mind, to be able to step back and look at our thoughts, look at our habits, patterns of behavior, things that we say, and really ask ourselves, you know, is this almost done? Or, you know, it's close enough to the bottom. Maybe I just need to let it go, move on. And that's all part of the resolve process. The last time we entered into a harmonic convergence was in 1987, and that was a different type of convergence than we're in right now. That convergence was really coming and bringing us together again as light workers, and bringing us together from the standpoint of just the human part of who we are, and relating to our earth and our world and the people in that world. So the harmonic convergence at that point in time in 1987 was really coming together as a collective group of people, like-minded people. There were people and sites throughout the entire world where people would gather in these wonderful energy vortex, and they would basically come in and they would just enjoy and merge in this convergence, not only with each other of the like-mindedness, but also with the energy of earth and the land. Well, this convergence is different. Again, like I said, it's multifaceted. It really follows the energy of the triad. It is about the human mind merging with its higher self mind, with the earth mind, that collective consciousness, and then also with the divine mind, where the collective consciousness, or that unconsciousness, as Carl Jung said in a lot of his writings his perceptions about who we are in that light and energy part, in that universal consciousness, that divine mind. When we merge our mind and merge the mind of earth and all that grace this earth together, then we are literally able to rise above and move beyond. And we create within our own selves an energetic bridge that allows us to be able to go from our human self to that higher divine self, to be able to look at things differently, to step back and to see things differently, and to look at the options and to realize that it's okay. We don't always have to be consciously thinking we're in the forward movement. Energetically, we always are. But to take that pause, to take that time for introspection and reflection, and to be able to really go in and to spend time with our thoughts, and again, to decide what we want to do with them. In the harmonic convergence of 1987, we were really looking at just a 24-hour period of time where it just seemed like, as many would say, all the planets would line up. And that was truth. But in this particular process where we are, because of the energy being around resolve, meaning letting go and finally getting the closure we're looking for on that those unfinished business, task, relationships, old hurts, whatever it may be, that we actually, the universe has opened up a portal that is basically a 4-day window that allows us to be able to experience it gently and slowly and mindfully, in a way that we can just spend time enjoying who we are, enjoying where we are, and then taking that joy that we can find, that gratitude part of the simplicity of our life, and then being able to spend time in it and rest and absorb it. And then to be able to remember what that feels like in the cells of our body, in the thinking of our mind, in the energy of our energy body, and then be able to move forward with the completion of 2010 in a place of grace, a place of being able to just move effortlessly. Now, that doesn't mean it may be without struggle, but it will be without suffering. So it's really a shift that was, again, prophesized in many of the teachings over thousands of years, that this would be another, it's really kind of a attunement, but not like we normally think of it. It's an attunement with the universe, and it's a chance for all of us in our thinking to go back to the real essence of who we are, the authenticity, that individual collective consciousness that we hold in the cells of the body, that are all those cells are thinking all in the same mantra. And that mantra is one of the first hermetic axioms: as above, so below, as below, so above. So we're really walking into kind of that energy conduit, that bridge between heaven and earth. So it really is a very exciting time. One of the things that you might find is that you may find that you don't feel like pressing and moving forward. So be it. You may find that things seem to be easier than they were even a few days ago. So be it. You may find that that inner longing that you have for that joy of life bubbles to the surface, and it requires you to find the joy in the simplest of things that really add that essence, that purpose to who we are. So be it. That you come in and then you basically align yourself with yourself, the me of you, the we of you, and then the collective unconscious, as Carl Jung said, of the universe. So a glorious time, and one that you may find that you'll really enjoy and actually might find that you want to perpetuate. It really is the energy of the completion of 2010 as we start the process of being able to go in and really look at what do we want to be when we grow up? And I don't mean in our humanness, but I mean, what do we want to be when we grow up into that real purposeful, meaningful part of who we are, that authentic part, that light part of who we are, that soul child of who we are. So again, a very glorious time, a time for rest, relaxation, and then reflection. So I just wanted to start out, no topic, but I wanted to start out by sharing that because I've been getting emails and messages and people saying, what's going on, Carol? Things just feel different. So I just wanted to share that. So what I want to do right now is I want to jump in, because it is a Conversations with Carol. I'd like to go in, and let's start with Ann from Kentucky. Hi, Ann, line one. How are you, hon?
Hi, Carol. I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I think the message that I just shared has a lot to do with where you are, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I need to... I need to gather up all old things and finish them off and continue in, on my new journey.
Absolutely, you do. And very interesting. And as I hear your name and I hear your vibration and so forth, and I touch you energetically, it's taking that little bit of a pause in this momentum that you've been moving forward and just almost taking a pause and looking around and saying, okay, am I where I want to be? And, you know, what are my benchmarks? And do I need to, you know, just sit a little bit longer? What do I need to do? So that's what I'm picking up. Now, how can I help you? You've obviously got a question for me.
Yes. No, I'm just wondering where you see the future of my current marriage. It's kind of dark. Like majorly stuck, and I'm wondering, should I move on? I'm scared, you know. I think that's my big stopping thing.
Yeah.
So I'm, but I mean, I just don't know if. I guess I just want to do the right thing, and then also I don't want to create like I guess karma, you know. So I have to come back and fix whatever I screw up.
Well, you know what? Let's go in and let's kind of. Dot the I's and cross the T's on everything. The reality of it is that your purpose in life has always been around relationships. You've always been a student of relationships, whether it's relationships of other people, relationships of your parents. You have an observer quality about you around relationships. You're trying to figure out why are some of them good, and then why are some of them bad? Why does some of them seem to have a ease about them? Why does some of them have a struggle about them? So from that standpoint, as far as the karma standpoint, your purpose on this earth, that it feels to me, is all about just understanding relationships and how do we, you know, how have we grown to the point where relationships are kind of this weapon of mass destruction rather than this unification, this cooperation and so forth. So your work individually and the work that you share energetically and collectively is around relationships. My sense is that's part of the essence of who you are, and that when you come back in another lifetime, it will still be an integral part of who you are. As far as having to do it over again, we never really do anything over again. You won't in your next lifetimes, but it feels like there's a common theme there. And again, what you come and you feel to me that you're always looking for is you're looking for that place of authenticity. That doesn't mean that you have to abdicate your individuality and your independence of it, but to be able to have an authenticity where there's an independence and almost an autonomy and yet still that close union. So in the relationship, I can understand your dilemma, because when you said the relationship feels stuck, excuse me, I had to change my vocal cords to match his energy. My sense is that the reason that it feels stuck is he feels like he's in a place where he's kind of, it feels to me like he's in this abyss. He's weighing his options. He's looking at the situation. He doesn't feel to me that he overall is happy about anything. And as a result, he feels like he's kind of goes into a cave is what it feels like, and pretty much buries himself within his own thoughts. And when he does that, he pulls away from everything. And my sense is that knowing who you are, is you still see that soul part of him, and you still see that that's, you know, flickering, and it's just a case of kind of like he feels like he's in the dark night of his soul and so forth. And do you stay? Do you go? Is this a pattern? It has been. Will the pattern change? Can he pull himself out of it? So one of the things that feels right now is I would encourage you the old mantra, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Feeling where you are is I would continue your journey forward the way that you are. Continue the momentum. It's very, very, it looks very good on you energetically as I touch you. So continue on the momentum. Get your ducks in a row. Make sure that you also are on the path that you choose to at this moment, and that the steps that you're taking are leading you there. One of the things that I feel about him is that he always observes you. He always wants to, you know, he's kind of amazed by you and the fact fact that you have such a courageous nature about you and, you know, kind of a que sera, sera attitude. And I don't mean that in a negative. It's just that you seem to move from one place to the other with greater ease than he does. And so what I would encourage you to do is to continue what you're doing and give it a, you know, whatever time you think that it needs to in order for you to be where it needs to, where he needs to be, and where you can come to the place where you either decide you've just grown apart, which is the path that it has been, or that there's enough there to keep it moving forward. So in this particular case, I probably, as I'm feeling you energetically, I'd really take a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude for a short period of time. I don't know whether that's 3 weeks, 3 months. I do know that things are going to change significantly for both of you, September, October, and by that period of time, you will have more clarity, he will have more clarity, and you can figure out where to go from there.
And the big change, do you, is it a move, like a physical house move?
It's going to have to be.
It's going to have to be.
It's going to have to be. It feels like, I'm not sure about the job. It almost feels like on his side that it's just going to require a tremendous letting go of a lot of things in order for him to be able to embrace this part of who he is that he's looking for. So it feels like it may have to do with a job. It's going to have to do with moving away, a new house, a new place, almost a new change of scenery. But it doesn't feel to me, Anne, that it's going to be running away from something and still taking that baggage with you. There's going to be enough of a significant shift that it's either going to be together because that's the next step in the path, or it's going to be that he just chooses, for whatever reason, no judgment, he just chooses that where he is where he needs to stay longer until he gets to that place. And then you will decide whether you want to stay there or whether you need to move on.
All right, Carol. I love you.
I love you, too. So, you know, deep breath, little bit of wait and see. Keep on moving and grooving. I love the direction you're headed. It is so in alignment with you. I mean, every time I touch you, you have a very fluffy aura.
Thank you.
you are most welcome, most welcome. All right. Thank you very much. So let's go ahead to Joe from California, line two. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi. How can I help you?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. There's some health issues going on, and I am unclear as to what exactly is happening, so I was hoping you could give me some insight.
Okay.
I am retaining water, something terrible, and I gained 20 pounds in a month, and then a little while later I gained another 5 in a matter of 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other symptoms like skin issues on my fingers and some dizziness and some night sweats and things like that. But what do you see?
Let's go. Let me ask a couple questions. Are you're working with a medical doctor?
Yes.
Okay. Has the doctor requested an ACTH test to see where your endocrine system is?
No.
ACTH, you would, maybe the best thing to do would be to request the doctor to refer you to an endocrinologist.
Okay.
And what the endocrinologist will do is run an ACTH test. And that will look at all of the endocrine glands, their functioning. It will look at a lot of the different levels from an endocrine system. The thing that I'm picking up is that you have three different dynamics that are happening within you. You have the dynamics of hormone imbalance. You have the dynamics of, it feels like a low-grade bacterial infection that your body's having to deal with. And then I'm picking up this thyroid imbalance as well. So we've got these different dynamics that are going on. The swelling itself and the water retention itself, there are certainly things that doctors could do for you. They could give you some water pills. There are some things that you can naturally do is to work to flush the kidneys out. My sense is the water retention has to do with the endocrine imbalance that you have going on in the body. It doesn't have to do with food. It doesn't have to do with even the thyroid, the metabolism slowing down to the point. You just basically, it feels like you've got this inner low-grade bacterial infection, and it feels like a lot of the water retention is part of the inflammatory response of the immune system itself that seems to be overwhelmed. It's creating a lot of excess lymph. It's creating a lot of excess weight that is contributing to the problem itself. The skin eruptions itself is another form of the body trying to be able to get rid of whatever is inside of the body that's irritating it. That has a lot to do with the skin eruptions. There's some other things that I pick up is this inflammatory response. It feels like it's causing not only the skin eruptions itself, but I can feel it in the joints. I can feel it in the body. The body, not just because of the weight gain and so forth, it just feels heavy. The muscles feel heavy. The joints feel like they're not moving as much as they need to. The dizziness itself, there's a couple of things that I'm picking up with that, is that with the dizziness, I think it's part of this inner ear issue that I'm picking up with this low-grade infection. Did your doctor put you on any kind of antibiotics?
No. I'm trying to do things as natural as possible.
Okay. So let's see if I can go another direction. I'm trying to find the source of that low-grade infection. Where do I want to go back? Can you go back 5 weeks ago?
Okay.
Let's see. So that would be approximately what? The 1st of May, end of April, right?
That would be about the 20th of April.
What was going on in that period of time in your life? Was this when you started experiencing some kind of a progression of what you're dealing with now?
The weight gain and stuff started in October.
Right.
Nothing's coming to mind at the
moment. Okay. Okay. I was trying to figure out because it feels like everything's kind of building to a crescendo, and it feels like 5 weeks ago I could feel this infection, a low-grade infection, just pretty much taking over, where your body just went into this fight or flight, and it feels like that's what set off this chain reaction that it feels like it almost intensified the things that you already had and added some other things to it. So I would do that. That'll check your thyroid. It's going to check your adrenals to be sure that you don't have any kind of adrenal burnout or anything. It's also going to, it'll check the pituitary gland, the posterior lobe of the pituitary gland itself is part of the natural diuretic aspect of us being able to assimilate the salt, the sodium that we have within the water itself, but then also it's tied to water retention. It also can be tied to the skin eruptions because the body isn't purifying as much. So I think that would be the direction is to go. And from that test, I think we'll start to find some different things. From a natural standpoint, what you might want to do is just go in and increase the natural part of the water, drinking water. Also, do you like watermelon?
Yes.
Okay, watermelon is a natural diuretic, and it might be something that you might want to start including in the diet. It will help you from the standpoint of getting rid of the water retention. I just checked you for diabetes, and I'm not picking up that, so okay. I wanted to be sure I wasn't going to be putting a lot of excess sugar, even though it's natural, into your body. You might want to go to a health food store and see if they have watermelon seed tea, natural diuretic. Also with the water, you will want to put lemon, lime slices, orange slices, red apple slices in the water. Let it just kind of sit there. Drink it. That's a natural purification for the kidneys themselves. It's very good for the lymph system. That's something that you can do. Do you work with a Chinese medicine doctor?
Yes.
Has the doctor put you on a couple of new remedies or herbs?
He hasn't necessarily, but I was taking some water balance pills and they weren't doing anything.
Right.
And so I was also doing a heavy metal cleanse because there's some issue with the liver enzymes being elevated.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an indicator that we have hormone imbalances, meaning from the entire endocrine system.
Okay.
That's one of the indicators.
Yeah, that test that you mentioned I wasn't doing, but I've got a saliva test in front of me that I'm supposed to be doing this week. And
perfect.
It's going to do the four different times a day for the adrenals and the estrogen, progesterone, et cetera.
Perfect. That will work very well. My sense is that one of the things that are going to be tested as well is your thyroid. Is that correct? Does it have a TSH? Okay, yeah.
The saliva test doesn't, but I have a blood test to do that.
Okay. There's a couple of things. It feels that in the thyroid, you feel not necessarily low. It bounces back and forth, but at this moment, you almost feel like you have a hyperthyroidism situation, and that means that your thyroid is trying to work overtime, and it may be that in that test, you'll find some results that will show that it's on the hyper side, and that can create weight gain. It can create a lot of the water gain. It can create some of the other things that I'm dealing with. The dizziness itself, I keep going back, and I keep picking up that that has more to do with an inner ear issue that has to do with this low-grade infection that I'm picking up, and that's exactly what it feels like. So you might ask your Chinese medicine doctor if there's anything that you could start taking that might be a natural antibiotic that you would be able to take that would help with this low grade infection. The thing that I keep picking up is we need to keep the immune system from turning on itself the way it is and not trigger aspects like the RA factor in your body. I can pick up in the family history in your mother's side that there's a tendency for arthritis. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And that's what we don't want to do is that we don't want anything to trigger that RA factor in order to kind of compound the issue itself. So the good thing is that you have the test that'll give you at least the baseline to be able to look at and then ask the Chinese medicine doctor about the other things that I suggested.
And do you see this resolving anytime soon?
I do. I think it's going to probably, the water issue, retention issue ought to start the process in about 45, 60 days if you can get on the right situation and medication. The thyroid itself is going to be tied to the hormones, the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone dynamics. That will require probably a little longer period of time for your body to be able to acclimate to what it needs to. My sense is if I'm accurate as far as the low-grade infection, if we can get you on the right herbal remedies, colloidal silver, maybe some of the things that the Chinese medicine doctor would like for you to do, then what you'll find is that your skin eruptions will most likely start to subside in about 30 to 45 days after you start the process that it feels like he's going to put you on.
Okay. I thank you so, so, so much.
Well, you are so welcome. It's nothing that I'm picking up that it's like, oh my gosh. It's just the best way to say it. It's like an intermittent bug that all of a sudden is causing the engine of a car to not run smoothly. And it's just a case of going in and trying to do the diagnostics of where do you want to start the process and then things will fall back into place.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, thank you. Light and love to you. All right. What I want to do is take a quick break right now, and I'm going to be right back and taking more of your calls. So stay tuned. It's a Conversations with Carol Wednesday.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, thank you for joining me. Today is a Conversations with Carol Day, and what that means is that I'm taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you and my intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062, and I'll be more than happy to take your calls. I was talking in the first segment, if you're just joining me, about some of the energy changes that are happening, this harmonic convergence that's taking place that's very similar to what happened in 1987. But it's different, and it's kind of like all of life. It's a little bit of a riddle. So what I want to do is I want to jump right back in. I want to come in, and I want to take some more calls. Hi, I'm going to take Debbie from Utah. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hey, Carol.
How are you, hon?
Oh, pretty good. My family's getting a little more open to medical intuition, and my daughter would like you to look at her back and her spine and her spinal fluid. And
okay.
I don't know how open she'll be. This is new to her, but she gave verbal permission, so.
Well, thank you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use you kind of what I call the via the surrogate. I'm going to go in and use you as that in between, a little bit like if we were doing muscle testing where we use somebody else. Instead of testing the person, we would use somebody kind of as an in between. Okay,
I totally understand.
So let's see. I want to hold off on the spinal fluid right at the moment because I'd like to go into the spine itself. And so let me ask some questions. Is she working with anyone? Is she working with a chiropractor?
She's going to be going to an osteopath.
Perfect. That's exactly where we want her to go. And the reason for that is that it isn't anything against chiropractors. It's just that the osteopath has a much different training and perception of how to work with the different organs and glands and aspects of the body, where the chiropractor is a lot about spinal manipulation. We have a lot of very gifted chiropractors. So an osteopath is the best person for her to work with. The one thing that continually feels like it's an issue is that feels like that the lower back, specifically in the lower lumbar, the sacrum, where that back kind of curves in and comes out and starts to curve back out in that pelvic girdle, the sacroiliac joint, is she gets really, really tight there. And when she gets tight there, what it does is it's putting a lot of tightness in not only in her hips and the movement, but also it feels it's putting a lot of tightness in her abdomen and putting a lot of tightness in the bladder, the uterus area as well. So my sense is, with what I'm picking up with the back, is that there's some other aches and pains and some other things that she's experiencing discomfort that she's that might be, you know, creating some of the confusion that she has. When I go into that lower part of the body, I find that in the right foot, there's an ankle injury from a long time ago where it looks like it turned and twisted itself in. I can pick up that there's certain movements that she does, certain gaits, certain things. Does she skate? Does she do anything that's, did she skate as a child?
Maybe ski.
Okay, skiing. Okay, that's what I got.
Might be the way she's walking or carrying the children. She's going to have to tell them she can't carry them.
Yeah, well, that is very, very true. Carrying them, not only when she's pregnant, but carrying them afterwards. There's an old injury in the right ankle that can become bound, meaning that the ankle doesn't move as freely as it needs to, and that locks up the sacroiliac joint, and then the sacroiliac joint locks up the ankles, and it's kind of an insidious process. Which do you want to work with? But both of those are intimately tied to each other. The other aspect of it is that when that sacroiliac joint itself starts to lock up, it creates almost this squeezing compression that goes from the lower back and just basically works its way up to the neck and up to the atlas, which is cervical vertebrae 1, right at the base of the brainstem itself, or I should probably say at the top of the brainstem. So from that standpoint, is it just creates this contraction, and when it creates that contraction, all of the muscles start to tighten up, all the ligaments tighten up. Now she doesn't seem like she's having the movement that she needs in to be able to have the freedom of movement, both her shoulders, her neck. It feels like her jaw is out of alignment as a result of this. It feels like her shoulders are out of balance. I've got one shoulder higher than the other. As a result, I've got one hip lower than the other. So her muscles are trying to compensate for that. My sense with the osteopath, what they'll do is they'll look at this pattern that she has in her spine and in the skeletal aspect of her body. And then what they'll do is by relieving in a very methodical process, they'll relieve a lot of the tension in that area. And what that'll do is it'll take the tension off of the spine itself from the standpoint that she'll have more freedom of movement. Has she ever been diagnosed with scoliosis?
I really don't know about that. I think, yeah, this has probably been coming on for a long time. She's also been, look at her car accident.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of it. What I pick, I didn't really let me go in because I'm never allowed to come and go, oh, yeah, I know that. I really didn't pick up the car accidents. I just
what about her tailbone?
That is tucked way under. And okay. When that gets tucked way under, what it does is picture the spine where it's in the neck and then it kind of bows out a little bit and then it curves in the lumbar and then it bows out in the bottom part. And then the tailbone itself is supposed to drop straight down. Her tailbone tucks under, and that's what changes her gait. That's what changes the dynamics of the ankle and then changes the dynamics of her whole spine. The reason I'd ask about the scoliosis is that when I go into starting at vertebrae T4, thoracic vertebrae 4, down to thoracic vertebrae 8, she's got a twist in her spine there that feels like it has to do with the scoliosis. It's a set pattern in the spine that it seems to be compounding itself to where it's becoming more pronounced. An osteopath will be able to work with that. One of the things that the osteopath may suggest is that she'll want to go in and maybe look at doing yoga or doing some physical therapy so she can try to get that spine and the muscles associated with that part of the spine loose enough where it doesn't continue to torque it. The best way to say it'd be kind of in her spine is it's, you know, when you start to put a screw into a wall or something, when you first start to screw it in, it kind of torques everything. The more you tighten it down, the more it torques it and so forth. I do pick up a little bit of arthritis, not a whole lot, surprisingly enough, but I do pick up some arthritis. But one of the things is with this twist and the turn in the spine, and then with what I pick up with that sacroiliac joint and I pick up with that ankle, this is something that she's probably going to have to reteach her body how to be able to respond and react in a way that it can remain healthy. Otherwise, frankly, it feels to me that she's going to be plagued with back issues the rest of her life.
Look at L5.
Yeah, L5, when we go into L5, S1, S2, we have an injury in there. And in that L5, and L5, by the way, is the fear of the unknown in my world as a medical intuitive. And if you kind of look at her life when there's a set pattern in her life. I can pick it up, you know, over and over and over again in her pattern, that she becomes consumed by the fear of the unknown. One of the things that I might share is that I also pick up that there's a lack of trust. And the primary thing is that she doesn't, I don't think she really understands the strength that she has within her. That's what the spine, the skeletal system represents to me. And that if she doesn't understand the strength,
yes, she has. Been through a lot in her relationship.
She has. And, you know, think of her back as just kind of being bumped around, knocked around. I don't mean necessarily from that physical standpoint, but just it's just a culmination of a lot of different things that feels like it just weighs heavy on her. There's the metaphor I keep getting in that lower back and that sacroiliac joint. It's almost like she feels to me that she just needs to, you know, dig her heels in, and it'd be better to just dig her heels in and not do anything than it would to be to repeat the past. And I think that that may be part of the metaphor that I'm picking up around the fear of unknown and the fear, you know, the spine and some of the other things. And so those are some of the metaphoric aspects of it, some of the emotional aspects of it. But I do believe that the osteopath will be able to go in and, in the way that they're trained, be able to look at a lot of the different things and change the pattern of chronicness that she's got in that lower back and that sacroiliac joint and that tailbone area that we talked about, because that's what's causing this compression, the squeezing that's working its way up the spine. And then she hits this twist and turn. And then it's when I go now into the cerebral spinal fluid, is that the fluid in her head isn't balanced. Her jaw isn't balanced. Her head isn't, and I literally have to say it this way, her head isn't on straight. Her head is twisted a little bit. It's not seated in that bowl, that skeletal, that skull bowl the way it needs to for the brain to be able to rest, the motor skills to work, the motor sensory nerves to work the way they need to.
Yeah, that's so, a family thing. I don't think mine is either.
No, it isn't. It is. And part of the thing is you're always looking around to see where the next shoe's going to fall. She's the same way. And again, I don't mean that judgmentally, but that's just part of the work that you came here to do and she came here to do. But when she would carry her babies, her back was just a real problem because of the fact, the way that the belly and the pelvic area would have to accommodate the carrying of the children.
Mm-hmm. And she's so loving. She just picks up the kids all the time. And, you know, it's so hard for her to say no.
Well, it is. Yeah. She's very much of a beautiful caretaker. She's very sensitive to people's emotional needs. And, you know, these babies that she has, you know, they feel to me as souls that they're kind of new into this world. They're old souls, but it's kind of like they're not real sure what it means to be in human body. And they, you know, it's kind of, they just need a little more protection. And they chose her very wisely because she has this protector about her. She has this, you know, warrior about her, this courageousness about her. I just don't think that she recognizes that about herself, and it throws her off balance when things happen. But, you know, she brought in these little souls that basically are, you know, if they become frightened, they want up. If they become insecure, they want up. If they, you know, just need to have a loving kiss, they want up. If mommy needs a kiss, they, you know, they get up. So there's a lot of process. So one of the things that in the metaphor of her as well is that she's done so much tremendous healing work herself to learn to stand on her own two feet. That's that courageousness. If we can get the osteopath to get her spine back to the point where it's in alignment as best as it can, there's some things that she's just always had to work around, and then she can stand on her own two feet, then what she'll do is she can, you know, reach down and she can meet her children at that level that they are, and then she can start the process of teaching them to stand on their own two feet as well. They're not needy. They're just not familiar.
I see. Frightened a little bit about this new experience.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, it'd be like us going on a trip into a foreign country, and we don't know if we have enough money. We don't know where we're going to stay. We don't have our interpretation book to tell us how to speak the language. I mean, she's brought in their old wise soul. They just feel like they're from the angelic realm, and being in physical body is new. They are just not quite sure what that means. And that's the gift of your daughter. Her whole life has been very much the same way, and that courageousness. But there's always that looming fear of unknown that she's dealing with from her past history.
Now, I saw an energy. It was really strange. She let me connect with her. I felt kind of bad because I gave up connecting with family, you know, years ago because, you know, it's so weird. I don't really see things the way you do, but I saw an energy in her back. I don't know, yesterday or a couple of days ago, and I don't know whether it's a metaphorical for she got hit in the back. It was almost like a sheet of energy that went into her back. I don't know whether it was a past thing, a past life, symbolic of an emotion. I think that it's been removed now, but the flow seems to be better on that level. I don't know really what that was. That was kind of different.
Well, what I pick up, and it's certainly not absolute, but when you were talking about what I picked up, is that part of her fear of unknown is that she needs to cover her backside.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I don't know if that fits or not. That was just a metaphor that came up as, you know, she's looking forward to things. She looks forward to life. She looks forward to relationships. She looks forward to things. But it seems like it's the things that get that blindsider that kind of come in from that back part may very well be. That's what I'm picking up. So you might just want to try that on and see if that has any kind of semblance of ringing
symbolic.
Truth to you or something. Absolutely. It is definitely symbolic. There is an energy congestion in that area of the back itself. And that congestion, if it builds up too much, can create a protrusion. And that may be part of what you're picking
up. Well, that's funny because I felt like the sacrum just flipped up into the air.
Yeah.
That's what I was seeing symbolically, is like it hit her in the back and that sacrum just flipped right up into the air.
Yeah,
upward.
Exactly. It would be like a car that gets rear-ended that has a rear trunk. When it gets really rear-ended, that trunk, flap goes, or the trunk lid goes up. That's
exactly
what it feels like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things you can do is, sweetie, to kind of look at where she is. There's a pattern of where she is now. As she's trying to step into her own power, and she feels like she's got, you know, kind of these things that are pulling her back. And just look at that pattern, that wanting to go forward, being pulled back, wanting to go forward, wanting to be, and she's being pulled back. And what you can do is you can hold the space for her to be able to go in and just hold the space. That's all you can do. But that might be something that you can feel like you're contributing, besides, you know, being a concerned mom.
Oh, thank you so much.
And by the way, you have a granddaughter?
Yes.
She's you. She's you. She's a little mini you. She's that kindred soul that you feel with her. She's that indigo that you are.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that is so wonderful.
So
we're finally connecting. We're finally connecting. She was frightened a little bit of me in the beginning, and now she comes to me. So,
Yep. So she's come to you because she can learn from you now. You've done a lot of work, and she can learn from you. So so you're going to be her eyes and ears. What a glorious union. And, you know, bless your daughter's heart for bringing in these beautiful indigos and these little angelic cherubs that are just here feeling safe with her. So wonderful, wonderful gift that she is giving the world.
Oh, thank you, Carol, so much. I appreciate that.
You are so welcome. Light and love, honey. It was my pleasure on it. I want to jump in real quick and let's take Christine from Kentucky. Hi, Christine.
Thank you so much, Dr. Reitberger.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon? Thank you for that.
I'm calling because my son has started having seizures. He's 16 weeks today. He started having seizures about 10 days ago. He had a series of five seizures. And then we were released from the hospital and came home. And then he started having seizures again. He had one on Sunday night and then Monday afternoon. And then he just had one this morning. And we were released from the hospital yesterday.
Okay. And what are they checking him for?
They're checking everything. The first diagnosis was afebrile. He has no fever, epileptic gastroenteritis because he has diarrhea, they're thinking, or slash constipation. He has a lot of grunts and pains when he's having to have a bowel movement. And they thought that that was causing the seizures, and they said that they would never see us again when we left, but then he had some more. So he had three more, and now they put him on meds, Keppra, and we came home, and he had one this morning. So I just don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah. Is he breastfed? Is your daughter on, or it feels like daughter, is that accurate?
Actually, a son.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Feminine energy. Is she on any kind of medication?
Yes, he just was put on medication. He was just put on Keppra.
No, his mother.
That's me.
No, okay. You're talking at, hang on a second. Let me
Sorry.
In.
Yeah, it's about my...
That's okay, because I was getting a whole bunch of different things with this. So your son is 16, you said?
16 week.
Okay. Thank you.
But he's a little baby.
Yeah, he is. So let me go in. I just had a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of energy enter into this whole process and create this great confusion around him.
Okay.
And in that great confusion, it's like, so who am I dealing with? Who am I talking to in this? And so that's basically what you heard. I just kind of got caught up in the momentum of it. So let me go in with that. Are you on any kind of medication?
No. I just take some vitamins.
Okay. There's a couple of things. I believe that the seizures are tied to the gastrointestinal tract.
Okay.
I believe that it is something that is triggering it. I went in to look for epilepsy, and I can see where some of the seizures have the appearance of being epileptic in nature, but it's almost as though it has to do with something he's ingesting that is triggering these seizures to happen. And I'm trying to figure out, that's where I was going. I was trying to figure out what that is. Is that, is he, you know, being breastfed? Is there any kind of medication? Is there any kind of reaction that he's having from the breast milk itself?
That's all he's eating.
Oh. Yeah. Is it anything that, you know, he should be off of it? The first thing that I keep coming up with is if somehow, it just feels tied to food, which, of course, I know there isn't any. So that's what I keep getting back to.
So then it must be me?
It's maybe something that you're eating, something that you're doing. This isn't about blaming you, sweetie. Please, I have to be very sensitive to that. But what you might want to do is, are you having cravings? Are you having different kind of cravings than you've had before? Is your diet changed at all?
No.
That's what's so perplexing, because I can understand the perplexing, because it's tied to the foods. It's tied to what's being ingested. That's part of the diarrhea. That's part of the bowel. That's part of the entire aspect of it.
Right now.
He is having a seizure right now. Yes, he is. This is a very small one. Do you need to go?
Nope. My sister's here. And basically now, apparently, I've been told, you know, we just watch and time it.
Exactly. You do. They should start to shorten. The medication will help with that. Yes, it will. It will help. And it just, the brain needs to have that stability with it. And then what I would do, honey, is I'd step back and look at the foods that you're eating and see if there's anything that you can do that you would feel that you can assist in the process on the things that you're eating.
Are you thinking dairy?
Say again?
Are you thinking dairy or?
I'm picking up dairy, and I'm also a dairy specifically. So you might want to look at that. Are you eating nightshades?
Yeah.
You might want to look at that. Those are the two things that I'm picking up. And you might just want to see what you're eating. And again, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just I pick up with a the connection with the gastrointestinal tract probably has to do with that.
So not say virus or bugs, but food?
It doesn't feel like a virus to me at all. It doesn't feel like a virus at all to me. It does feel like, Rebecca just told me I have a short period of time. It does feel like, sweetie, that it's something that the medication will help, and it's something that we can look at from a standpoint of being able to work with him in his intestinal tract working via you. That feels like, the situation. But the seizures themselves feel like they have an epileptic energy around it, but it feels like it has to do with whatever is being ingested.
So I should continue the meds. We just have to work on it.
I would.
Okay.
I would. Just to give his little body and his little, a brain a chance to be able to reestablish itself.
Yeah, that's what this will do.
Yeah. Yep. Did you take Rebecca's telling me I've got 1 minute. What did they use when you were in labor?
Did you do it? Not breathing, actually.
Yeah,
I had an emergency C-section.
Yep. So there's what he's doing. His brain's trying to acclimate, and then we need to just be sure that he gets the right nutrients for it to acclimate. It's the born not breathing that's part of the process of what his brain is still working with.
Okay.
So the medication should help, sweetie.
Okay, so I shouldn't stop the medication.
I would not. Listen to your doctor in this case.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, light
and
love to you.
And something gastroenteritis. Okay.
That's what it feels like to me. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Another Conversations with Carol under our belt. I'll have this posted to the archives. It's been a real pleasure. I hope you'll join me next Wednesday on the Carol Reitberger Show. Light and love. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.